Welcome to LifeBridge Online. Whenever it is that you're watching this, we are grateful that you are allowing us to be part of your life. Whether it's Sunday morning, sitting at home, worshiping with your family in the living room, or if you're driving down the road, headed to the store today, listening to this, we are grateful to be part of your life. I want you to know that we miss you. We can't wait. We pray this often that God is going to remove COVID from our world, and that you guys who are still at home, you're protecting your family, you're doing what is best for your family. We are praying that we are going to have the opportunity to worship together under one roof, celebrating the things that God is doing in our life. You know, talking about celebrating the things that God's doing in our life, if you participated last week, you know that we had a guest speaker. Andreas Alonso is a friend of mine. He grew up in the very building, the church that we worship in now. He was part of that church as a child. He went off to Memphis to go to Mid-South Bible College. He went to school there. He graduated from there. He worked in the Memphis area. And Andreas is now back in our area. And I'm excited that he was willing to take a turn preaching for me. As I was talking to him, he told me how nervous he was. I'm really proud of him because not only was he nervous in getting up and doing public speaking, that sermon was only the second sermon he's ever preached in English. And so for those of us who are nervous and we don't like to pray out loud, or we don't like to get up and don't want to speak in front of others, whether it's a communion meditation or read in front of others, and you can relate then to how Andreas was feeling. Now add on top of that, he was doing it in a second language to him. And so I'm really proud of him, the willingness, the desire in his heart to be used by God. Update on our Restore His House. You know, the month of October, we have a goal of raising $5,000. The $5,000 that we're trying to raise will put us over the goal that will allow us to do some work outside. It'll allow us to get all the painting done. It'll allow us to get new gutters around the building, and you know those are desperately needed. And it will allow us to get all the fascia and soffits repaired. You know, this phase one of Restore His House is all about the maintenance that is lacking. It's bringing everything up to code, making sure everything is safe, making sure everything looks good, and is not going to cause further damage. And so we have a push of $5,000 in the month of October, and I'm praying for this goal to be met. I'm asking you to pray for this goal to be met. God loves generous, cheerful givers. He's moved by this action from us. And so I want to challenge you. You be praying about this. What can you give? You know, remember the biblical principle that Jesus talks about. You know, what we sow, we're going to reap. We're going to gain back greater. You may sow $100. You're going to get more than that back. Now, it may not come back in the form of money in your pocket, but I promise you, you are storing up treasures in heaven that you cannot imagine. So please take a moment, pray about that, have the conversations. Let's just see what God does as we try to honor Him with this campaign and what we're doing. So today, we are in week two of the book of James. Now, we're doing this sermon series following our second inductive Bible study for the year. And I know what you may be thinking. Well, if I studied this personally, if I went through the inductive Bible study the way you challenged us to do so, then why do I need to hear you preach on this? And here's the thing. Repetition is key to learning. We don't want to memorize Scripture. We want to learn Scripture. Memorization has a valuable place when it comes to Scripture and familiarity, but we want to learn God's Word. We want to be able to hide it, hide God's Word, as David wrote, in our heart, so that all of our actions and all of our speech, our behavior, our attitude is dictated by the Word of God that is hidden in our heart. And so repetition is key to us learning this. And so that's why we challenge you to do the inductive Bible study. And then we were going to do this sermon series on it, hoping that, the repetition will just benefit you all the more. So Andreas, as I mentioned, kicked off this series on James last week. And he kicked it off with one of the more practical, straightforward commands to the church, who at the time is being persecuted and scattered throughout the Middle East. James chapter 1, verse 22 reads, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says." I mean, that's pretty straightforward, right? James is writing this to the church. Listen, and then do what it says. I think with this formula, you're going to see results. You're going to see life change if you live this out personally. You're going to experience peace. Hey, you will have joy. You will be content if you just take the word that you hear and then try to live it out. So today, as we get into our second sermon, let's not just listen to God's word, but let's do what it says. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James, the third chapter, verse 1. Yeah, you just saw the heading, taming the tongue. I know, all of us are like, oh. So we're doing the study, we're hoping, man, I hope he skips over this one. Not so. James chapter 3, verse 1. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." As we stop right there in this reading, I want you to go back, and you're probably familiar with this if you did the inductive Bible study. Look at verse 5 again. "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." James is comparing the damage of our words and the damage that they can do to that of a forest being burned down from a simple spark. If you've watched the news the past few weeks, you've certainly come across some of the very devastating forest fires out in California and in the southwestern United States. And one of those fires, hopefully maybe you saw this, one of those fires was started from a gender reveal party that a couple who innocently was very excited about telling their family and friends about the gender of their soon-to-be-born baby. They were using a pyrotechnic device. I don't even know what that is really, but I wish I had one. They were using a pyrotechnic device that was supposed to blow blue or pink smoke when triggered. And things, as the party is going underway, and it's the moment that we're waiting on, and everybody's there, the anticipation, we can't wait, the excitement is welling up, things didn't go as planned. A small spark flew from this device, and now it is a major forest fire. This fire, as I checked earlier in the week, this fire has consumed, it's burned over 22,000 acres. If we put this into perspective for you and I in our local area, the Decatur city limits equals 38,000 acres. So a little more than half of Decatur being burned to the ground from a simple spark. One fireman has lost his life in this. 10 homes and buildings have been destroyed. All of this from a device that caused a spark to generate blue or pink smoke. And James says that your words are capable of doing the same thing. They are capable of bringing on this much damage. Look at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. The tongue can do major damage, verse 6 says. It can stain the whole body, he says. Remember that James is writing to the scattered Jewish Christians. They were meeting in Jerusalem, and as persecution came under these Jews, they scattered, they went back to their homes, they spread throughout the Middle East. This is who James is writing to. He's writing to the church, and he's telling the church, he's telling these people, those of us who follow Jesus and who love Jesus, he's saying to them that your words stain the entire body. Hey, your gossip and your slander, your flattery, your lying, your cursing, all of these things do great damage. But they stain the entire body. These things that I just mentioned, the words that we speak, these are practices of the sinful nature. And they're so easy to engage in, and we engage in them often, and we don't even realize that we are actually engaging in sin. They become so second nature to us. They become so second nature to us that we do not realize that we are sinning because it's so natural. And so not only are we sinning when we engage in wrongful speech, which is against us, but we are staining or we are misrepresenting the body of Christ. Our words have a twofold impact. Look at verse 9. He challenges the church. He goes, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. We're sitting in church on Sunday morning singing these songs, or we're in our car driving down the road, we're headed to the store, and we sing songs of praise, and we sing about how great God is and all the things that He's doing in our life, and we sit there and we have this wonderful moment praising God, and then we get to the store or later on the day, whatever happens, we lie or we curse, we gossip. But we're at the store and somebody in one of those little carts isn't looking and they run into our leg or something and we say something. Yeah, you've been there. It's real. James is like, how can you sit over here in the car or how can you sit in church Sunday morning and praise the Father and bless Him with your words and then curse people? How can this happen? Can a freshwater spring produce salt water? Can a fig tree produce olives? Of course it can't. How can we bless God with the words that come out of our mouth and then stain His church with the same tongue. So we've got to do something about this, church. We can't let this go on. We have to do something. We must learn to control our tongue. You know, one popular method of controlling the tongue, I remember this from my past, one popular method of controlling the tongue is the infamous swear jar. Maybe you've used this approach to trying to control the tongue. If you're not familiar with this, what I'm talking about here is you designate a jar or a coffee can or something that you can put money in, and it's properly labeled swear jar. And every time you say something negative, you put a set amount of money in there. Hey, every time I curse, every time I lie, every time I gossip, I'm going to put a dollar in the swear jar. Whatever negative part of speech, whatever it is that you're trying to quit engaging in, every time that you do this, you put some money into the jar. And at the end of the week or the end of the month, you donate the money, you give it away, you take someone else out to lunch, and you buy them. Supposed to kind of hurt a little bit. Supposed to hit the pocketbook. And every time that we have to do this, it's supposed to sting just a little bit. And through that, hey, we learn to break a bad habit. But here's the thing. Here's the issue with our efforts. Hey, we might be able to minimize what we say. We might be able to do a good job of breaking some bad habits when it comes to our speech. But James lets us know that you and I, we cannot control our tongue. Verse 7 says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Every walking animal, bird of the air, reptile, sea creatures can be tamed. Whether that is by force or by training, these animals can be controlled." But he says to us, no human being can control the tongue. Well, great. If my tongue and my speech cause damage and it am living in sin by doing this and I'm staining the body of Christ. But now right here he says, you can't control it. So does that just mean we don't do anything? Does that mean we don't at least pray about it? The point that Scripture makes when it comes to our speech is that we cannot do this on our own. The only way our speech is tamed is through the Holy Spirit in the sanctifying work of Jesus Christ in our lives. And this is true with every facet of life. The sin nature has to be surrendered daily. It doesn't just happen once. It doesn't happen. You just don't say to God, take care of this now, and it's resolved. The sin nature has to be resolved daily. And so if you know that your speech is divisive, that you're a gossip, or you slander others, you curse, whatever it may be, you don't just stop doing that. Because here's the thing about our words. The issue isn't the words. It's much greater than that. It's deeper than that. The issue is what the words really say about who I am. So if I'm a gossip, yeah, that's negative. Yeah, I just shared misinformation or information that doesn't need to be shared with someone else about someone else. That's certainly wrong, and it is doesn't need to be taking place. But it's not about the words shared. It's about revealing who I really am. That's the bigger issue here. Look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart." Don't miss this last sentence of this verse. "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Let that sink in. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Church, the only way the tongue can be tamed is when the heart is changed. The only way the tongue can be tamed is when the heart is changed. The Holy Spirit in our lives is what changes our heart. If we want to get our speech under control, it's not about the words. It's not about practicing disciplines to say what we don't want to say. It is about the heart. It is a heart issue. And so our part in this is to feed the Holy Spirit. We have to give the Holy Spirit permission to rule our lives, to work within us. That's sanctification. That's the process of us becoming like Jesus, truly righteous and holy. We have to surrender our lives daily to this, to the Holy Spirit, and we have to let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. So, now the question, how do I do this? How do I let this happen? How do I let the Holy Spirit rule my life? Well, I'm about to wrap up. I got two challenges for you. Okay? Oh, James 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. I've got two things that I want to challenge you with that I think are going to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. The first thing is this. I have come under conviction of Acts chapter 2, when the first church met. And it says that when they were meeting daily, and they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the Word of God. And that's why we have taken this year, and we've emphasized spiritual disciplines and being alone with God, and with the different learning, teaching you the different Bible study methods, starting with this inductive Bible study. Devotion to the Word of God is critical. It's key if we are going to grow, if we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And so here's the first challenge to you coming out of this talk that we've had. I want you to join me in reading the book of Proverbs, one chapter a day. And I want you to go through as you read the chapter, and I want you to underline or highlight or whatever it is you do to mark up your Bible. I want you to underline or highlight anything that has to do with our speech. Now, I'll tell you this. I've tried this for a couple of days. It takes 4, maybe 5 minutes if you are a thorough reader to get through a chapter. 4 or 5 minutes, that's it. I'm not asking you to study things. I'm not asking you to do any type of word searches on anything. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm asking you to join me in simply reading Scripture, a proverb a day, starting tomorrow, and underlining anything. Now, I'll tell you this, not every chapter has something to do with speech, but most do. And I just want you to highlight. Underline. Here's what God's Word says. But here's the challenge to do it every day. Read a chapter a day. See what happens. The second challenge is every day this week. As Paul wrote, let everything you say be good and helpful. I want you to challenge yourself to this week to let everything you say, to let the things you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Every day this week, I want to challenge you to allow your words to be a blessing to others. Start with your spouse. Let your words be a blessing. Say something encouraging to your spouse. Don't make something up. Don't lie. Find something because it's there. I promise you it's there. It's there with all of us. And I want you to start with your spouse, and I want you to say something every single day this week. Then I want you to do that with your children and then a coworker. So that's three people. That's three people every day this week. I want you to challenge you to work on allowing your words to be uplifting, to be an encouragement to others. And church, I'm telling you, as you do these two things this week and then Proverbs throughout the rest of the month, you're going to see the Holy Spirit convict you and change and tame your tongue. I hope that you see this as steps and a method of us surrendering our lives to Jesus so that we can become like Him. See you guys soon.